We'll sing again to the Lord's praise, number 597, Fight the Good Fight. Standing as we sing. Sometimes we might think that the arms of the Lord are not near when we sense our feet taken out from underneath us, and we wonder, are the Lord's arms there to hold us up? But the words of the last stanza are very true. Faint not nor fear, His arms are near. Taken from Deuteronomy 33, that the everlasting arms are underneath us at all times. And that's great comfort. That is very great encouragement for the child of God. Let us not be weary in well-doing, but pursue on, press on. As sometimes you may feel yourself faint, yet pursuing. Keep on going. No turning back, no surrender. And God will indeed bless us as we serve Him. We're reading tonight in the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans 1, the first 17 verses. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We know the Lord will bless His word to us as we have read, and as you have read in your hearts, in your spirit, tonight as well. A warm word of welcome to you all. We're happy that you're in the Lord's house tonight in person, and we want to give you a warm word of welcome if you're visiting with us, or maybe you've come back again. And if you're viewing our service online tonight, I want you to know you're very, very welcome in the Savior's precious name. Let me remind you, please, of some important prayer requests and also some ministry going on this week. We ask you to keep in prayer those who have been requesting that for sickness and other reasons being set aside. We continue to hold up our sister Hyacinth. Remember Dr. McClellan, please, in your prayers, and others who are in need of a touch of God being lifted up in their bodies, but also perhaps cast down in spirit some other burden. Well, our prayers are one for another, for the Lord has told us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, and we want to do that. Let's continue in our prayers for all of our mission stations, remembering each of them in their needs. Mentioned this morning about Jamaica, and we want to remember them again, both as they have come through a couple of storms already, and not finished yet probably. This is storm season, hurricanes and so on, for their safety, and also a special protection to the congregation during times of virus and sickness. They were able to hold services again last Lord's Day, and I'm hoping today as well. So let's remember Brother Richard Craig as he continues in his theological studies and making final preparations for his ordination as well. Remember, please, the upcoming week of prayer that's going to be held in Indianapolis. It was to be in Calgary initially, but there was a change made, and so now it's in Indianapolis. Remember that time and all the preparations that will be made there and for that. Let's continue to hold up all of the local churches that we have and the ones that do not have pastors, both here in Canada and also in the United States. We want to be mindful of our brothers and sisters as they are needing the Lord's help and the right man to be brought to them at the right time. At this end, I would thank you for your prayers for Cloverdale. I was with them in the service after our service this morning, and will be after the evening service tonight, and they extend their greetings to you, and I also was able to share your greetings and support for them and to them. Want to ask you to remember, please, our prayer meeting this week, Wednesday evening, 7:30, for for Bible study and prayer time as we continue our look in the life of Paul in the Gospel, well, you could say the Gospel of Acts, but it's the Acts of the Apostles. And as we continue our study, that the Lord would continue to bless us and meet with us there. And then this coming Saturday will be the Youth and Young Adult Fellowship, and the timing, and that was in the email that you all received. And if you would like to go, if you didn't respond yet, please do so to Brother Jonathan McAnally, and he'll put your name on that list. Now, next Lord's Day, our regular service is in the morning and evening, but also we have a special prayer time in the afternoon, our monthly congregational prayer at 5 p.m. We really want to focus on prayer for our nation, prayer for Canada, specifically as the federal election will be on the 20th of September, and how we need to pray for God's intervention in our land, for His mercy upon our land, for reviving among people, among our inner nation. And we certainly would ask you to join with us in your prayers regarding that. Our Sunday school teachers, we are going to have an appreciation time for them. I remind you of that, please, on September the 24th. That's a Friday night at 7 p.m. We ask you to remember that very much in your prayers. And also, our Sunday school, Lord willing, we hope to start to recommence again on October the 3rd in the will of the Lord. I think those are all the ministry announcements we have at this time. Good to have a Brother Conroy. Didn't see you there before, Brother. Good to have you in the service tonight. You're very welcome. We're happy that you're here. May the Lord bless you as you've come to fellowship with us tonight. Let's sing again to the Lord's praise. Number 596, Faith is the Victory. And we will remain seated while we sing. Final two verses, please.
Thank you.
Let's turn again, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10. We were hovering around this portion this morning. We read from verse 19 in our congregational reading down to verse 31 and then picked up at 32 to the end of the chapter. And we're going to do that again, please, verse 32 to verse 39 and then into chapter 11 just by a verse or so. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling, the pillage of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise or receive the fulfillment, the blessing, the benefit of the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. May God bless His Word again. Let's bow, please, for prayer. Father, again we are so overwhelmed and blessed by the weight of these words. How powerful, how encouraging, how fitting, Lord, they are for every believer. I pray that there would be no one of us here that would lose out and miss out on the blessings that you have set aside for your church and we, the people, the body of Christ. I ask, Lord, tonight for help in the ministry of this word. You would give liberty, the unction from heaven, the strength that is not human but divine. And Lord, we also pray that distractions would be removed. The thoughts of tomorrow and business and all the action, it would not intrude upon this sacred time. But Lord, we would have hearing ears and understanding hearts. Hear our prayer. Lord, what about those who are still not saved in our church here, listening at home? Is it not time, Lord, to work? Is it not time to save? O God, we pray again humbly that you would do a work that we cannot do. Lord, if we could save, we would, but we cannot. And therefore, it's time, Lord, for you to work. Answer our prayers. We humbly pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you were with us this morning, we were thinking from this portion of God's Word upon the subject of making it to the finish line in victory, not just in weakness, certainly not in defeat. We don't want that. We want to live by faith and to walk with our God every day. And so I said that we would be looking at this idea of living by faith, the just living by faith, in sort of a two-part message. And I want to move on tonight and think both to reiterate and to encourage you in the things of the Lord. I sometimes feel that we are more prone than we would want to admit that we would cast away our confidence. And I know that we would not openly say that. In fact, we would all be, well, doubling down and saying that, oh, no, we'll never do that. We'll not be casting away our confidence. And though we wouldn't say it, sometimes in our spirits or inside, by the weariness of our flesh, or by the weakness of our spirit, we might actually do that by perception. We might actually be guilty of doing that, not consciously, but maybe more subconsciously. And because of the pressures that are on us in this day, which a preacher will say in every generation, in our time, it's worse than it was the time before. And that's always true, isn't it? Because things are indeed getting worse as we come toward the end. That's no surprise, because the Lord has told us that the mystery of lawlessness will increase as the day approaches and the coming of the man of sin approaches. So we should not be surprised about this. But equally as we will not be surprised about things getting worse and things seem to be getting harder for the church and for individual Christians, whether it is in Afghanistan or it is in China or in other Islamic countries, and we can feel the heat coming closer and closer to us here as our government is militantly opposed to Christian ways and values. Let's not stick our heads in the sand about this. Let's be very much alert to the fact that we are in a post-Christian country. Education-wise, health-wise, abortion-wise, euthanasia-wise, and all of these things that are coming very hard against the Christian church and against the very sound and basic principles of the Word of God. So I'm saying all this to say there is a danger. There is a great, well, potential for us to wonder, how are we going to keep going? How will we persevere to the end? My dear brother and sister in Christ, be sure of this, that we will persevere to the end, because it is Christ in us that is the hope of glory. It is our Savior who abides within the heart of the child of God that will enable us to keep going, even though we feel our knees are shaking and our steps may be faltering. Yet praise God, it is Christ who is with us to be our strength. It is when the righteous man stumbles and falls, the Lord will pick him up, dust us off, and keep us going on our way. We are going home to glory soon to see the city bright. How soon? Well, we may not want to hasten the day because God has made us to be a witness while we're here. Though, as the Apostle Paul said, he desired to depart to be with Christ, which was far better. But he said, it's needful for me to remain, to be a witness. And you know what? That's the truth for every single one of us as God's people. It is needful for us to be here to fulfill the timing and the purpose that our Lord has for us. The book of Hebrews and Romans and Galatians, and we might as well include the entire New Testament, it is underlining for us over and over again that the battle that we fight, the war that we wage, the journey that we are on, is one that is a walk, a battle, a contention of faith, and by faith. And through faith. And believer, if we lose sight of that at any juncture, we're going to be in trouble. And this must be emphasized again, because whether it was from the Old Testament scripture, which we'll be looking at in a short time, or brought out into the new, we have it emphasized for us in verse 38, which is really the text that I leave with you today and tonight, where the apostle emphasizes again, now the just shall live by faith. The justified person, that's what this is referring to. The person who has been illuminated by the power of God's Spirit. That person that has been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. We who are the elect of God, chosen and given by covenant promise by the Father to the Son, and those for whom Christ Jesus shed His blood and died. The Lord did not shed His blood just to give men an opportunity to get saved. He shed His blood to save those who were given to Him in covenant promise. And my dear friends, tonight, that gives us great certainty, great confidence, great hope, because all is wrapped up in the work of Calvary, the work of Christ on the cross, and the shedding of His blood to make atonement for my sin, for the sins of His people. His name is called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. What a great and blessed truth that we have before us. There can be no surrender. There cannot be any giving in for the true believer. We will live and we will walk with God, and we will be overcomers. When the apostle quoted this verse from the Old Testament, here in our verse 38, the just shall live by faith, he was setting down the introduction. For as we look at Hebrews 11, and we often term it the great chapter of faith. And so, he is showing us that the faith of the Old Testament saint that starts out with Abel and moves to Enoch and then goes right up to all the saints, Noah, not all of them, but Noah, Abraham, Moses, and all the way through, showing us that the faith that these Old Testament saints had was a faith in the promise. And that very promise that the apostle spoke of in verse 36 of chapter 10, he said that you might receive the promise. In other words, you've received the fulfilling of that promise that was given to these Old Testament saints, that they looked forward in. They walked by faith in the promise. Now, we are living in the fulfillment of that promise. And our faith, as their faith, is the same. It's the same because it is secured in the Redeemer Himself. And friends, tonight, as we think about this great New Testament theme, we are justified by faith and we have peace with God. And I pray that as we think on this great subject again tonight, it will be a rich blessing to every heart. Let me say to you in the first place that this is the evidence of true conversion to Jesus Christ. I say true conversion because there are many who are false professors. Yes, in the very visible Church of Jesus Christ today across this globe. There are many who are false professors because as the parable of the sower that our Lord Jesus spoke about, there was only one ground where the seed fell that brought forth fruit to the glory of God. The other ground was all that which was false. Those who were imposters, those who were hypocrites. And the word and the truth for us that we want to draw tonight is that when the just are said to live by faith, those who are truly the children of God, there will be evidence here of genuine conversion to Jesus Christ. Now, we learn and know from the book of Job in the Old Testament, there was a great and profound question that was asked. How can a man be just with God? That would be the question of the ages. That would be the question that is searching out in the very heart of every man that has lived in every time. How is it possible for a sinful human being to eventually be justified before God? And so people scratch their heads and would wonder about the answer. Is it going to be the pathway of Cain? Would it be the pathway of those who go about to establish their own righteousness before a holy God in order to get to heaven? Because Cain sets the groundwork for every false religion that has ever come to be. Because every false religion is a religion of good works. And that's the bottom line with Cain. And so the evidence of true conversion will be to grasp this truth of justification by faith, to grasp it in the reality and biblical truth that it is presented in. Now, when it was asked, how can a man be just with God? The Bible gives us clearly the answer to that. And the prophet Habakkuk spoke of that in his second chapter of his book and the fourth verse when he said those words that the just shall live by faith. Little is known about this prophet Habakkuk except that he warned Judah about the coming Chaldeans, Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar, and the total destruction that would come upon Judah because of their national disobedience to God's holy word. Habakkuk and other prophets, they represented in their day the remnant, the faithful remnant. They represented the seed of those who were true to God's word. They were obedient among many who had rejected. Yes, just as those who falsely profess their allegiance to God in the Old Testament Israel, national Israel, they had many in there that were not true believers. You don't have to investigate too far whether it was Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, whether it was the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt and were consumed in the wilderness, whether it was those who were bitten by the serpents because of their unbelief. Yes, friend, there were many who were in national Israel who were false professors. Just as today, in the church, the visible church, there are also many false professors. And that's why when we think about those who are truly converted to Jesus Christ, we are speaking about the invisible church. Those people who are known by God Himself as He looks down into the heart of the individual, and all hypocrisy and all double standard and all double speaking is all evaporated, and the Lord looks right down inside our hearts today to know, do we belong to Him? Are we truly justified in the eyes of our holy God through the work and merit of Jesus? Has the seal of God been set upon us? And oh, my friend, today I say to you, I do not know your heart. I cannot look inside you. Oh, if there would be such a thing as a spiritual X-ray, then we might be able to see something, but there is not. And so the Lord is the one who knows who is true and who is not. And I say to you today, on the authority of God's word, make your calling and election sure. Be certain tonight, friend, that you have the real faith inside you. That you indeed, you are described here in this verse about the justified one living by faith. Are you just with God today? Have your sins been washed away? Is your hope settled and secure in your Savior? If you are in any doubt of that, I would say bring that doubt to God in prayer. Don't delay. Don't just have some kind of wishful thinking, but bring it directly to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, please make this crystal clear to my heart. Let the Spirit of God bear witness with my spirit that I am truly one of your children. I must know. I can't go another day. Lord, I cannot put my head upon my pillow tonight unless I know. For if I was to go to sleep and my life was to be taken from me in my uncertainty, friend, where would your soul be for eternity? I speak this here, and it's going out over the internet and the airways for those folks in your homes, for I do not know your heart. I cannot see you. Are you right with God? Are you justified tonight? Is there evidence in your soul of being genuinely converted? You say, well, what would that evidence be? One of the key evidences, friend, if you are truly a child of God, is if you have a heart love for Jesus Christ. I didn't say if you have sort of an acknowledgement that He is the Son of God, or a bald belief that there is a God out there, because that means nothing really. Because all the devils in hell believe that there is a God. No, it's something much more than that. And it is in your soul a genuine love for Jesus Christ. Not something that you have to say in order to convince a pastor or anybody else that you might think to convince. No, it's going to be that which you know in your soul. And you breathe out to the living God, Lord, you know my heart. You know that I have love for the Lord Jesus Christ, because if you have a love for Christ, then the Spirit is bearing witness with you that you belong to Him and you know Him. And when Habakkuk spoke that word in his book, why, the teaching of Habakkuk was not something new, even to the Old Testament saint, because every Old Testament believer had faith in the living God, had faith in the promise that was to come. We're told that Abraham believed in God, he had faith in God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In other words, the Lord looked upon the heart of Abraham and he saw he believes in the promise, Messiah that was to come. And therefore, he was justified before the Lord. And in the New Testament, Paul argues both in Romans and in Galatians on that very basic truth of the kernel, the heart of faith that was in Abraham. He was justified. David, in the book of Psalms, said, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, whose sin is covered." David knew that his sin was covered not by the animal sacrifices that he had done, but his sin was covered by the Lamb of God that was going to be slain. He looked forward to the great coming of the Son of God. And David knew, as Abraham did, as Moses did. And Habakkuk draws a wide contrast between the man who lifts himself up in pride and self-righteousness and the man who is justified and lives through faith. We do not have time to go into the prophecy of Habakkuk in great detail, but if you were to study and look a bit more deeply, Habakkuk is presenting that very thing. Those in Judah who were filled with their own self-righteousness and pride. And he deals with that issue. On the other hand, he's talking about those who are truly children of faith, who are justified, and who are living their lives by their faith. But you ask this question, maybe. How do we know that this is gospel faith that Habakkuk was speaking about? How do we know that? It's Old Testament. Maybe it was a combination of maybe belief in God and maybe the animal sacrifices. Maybe there was a little hope in that. How do we know this? We know it, friend, because 3 times in the New Testament this verse is mentioned. I said to you this morning it was 4 times, but it was 3 times in the New Testament plus the one in the Old Testament from Habakkuk, a total of 4 times that this verse is mentioned in the Scripture. And if it was not New Testament gospel faith, it would not be used by the apostles in the New Testament to prove the faith that is essential for conversion. We have it quoted in Romans 1:17. We read. It's found in Galatians 3:11. And here in Hebrews 10:38. Salvation and faith has never been by ritual observance or just sacrificial compliance or the duty of some regulation or law, civil or otherwise. But it was always based upon a covenant promise, and that of the Redeemer and Savior that was to come. In Romans 1, that we read from earlier. And I did comment this morning that Luther, in the margin of his Bible, wrote beside that the two Latin words, sola fide. And it was faith alone. And when the Spirit of God brought that illumination, brought that light to his heart, then he realized that what Habakkuk spoke was absolutely true, and what the Apostle Paul was bringing out in Romans 1:17. It was faith alone that justifies a man, and it's not his works. Because if you know anything about the life of Luther and his priesthood in the Roman Church, he was trying by his works and by his penance and by the injuring himself to try to get rid of his guilt, and he could not do it. Because the more he did that, the guiltier he felt. And it was not until the Lord opened the eyes of that man that, no, Martin, this is not by anything that you're going to do by your own compliance, your own sacrifice, your own injuring of yourself in some kind of penance. No, none of that. And when the light came on in the heart of that man, it was the light of Christ, and it was the gift of faith. And then he knew that I am justified before my God in heaven freely by sovereign grace. And he has given that faith to me. And so that I know where I stand today, I am accepted in the Beloved. And when he was brought out of the dark night of his sin, so every child of God has been brought out of our dark, sinful past into the brightness of the sunlight. And the book of Romans, the whole theme of it is just that, of what it meant to be brought from darkness to be justified by faith. We find these words also recorded in the book of Galatians, chapter 3 and verse 11. I want you to turn there for a moment because I want to read just a few of those verses, verses 6 to 11. They are very helpful for us to understand this a little deeper. Galatians 3, verse 6, Paul writes, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed." What a great prophecy of the coming of Christ. And of all the nations, all the Gentiles, all the nationalities of the world would come to justifying faith, those who were saved out of. Verse 9, "So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." In other words, you have to have perfect obedience. You had to keep the law absolutely in perfection, or else you're condemned. And this is what the apostle is bringing out here to the Galatians, because we know a little bit about the Galatian background, that they were people who had received the light of the gospel, but because of some Judaizers that had come into the church, they brought back to them, you have to be circumcised, you got to follow the law, you have to do this and that. And they were getting all tied up in the legalities of the law. And Paul said, "What is this? You're going back to the beggarly elements." That's what he called it. Going back to the law. Going back to the rites and rituals the beggarly elements? Wait a minute, he says, you've come to faith and light in Christ. You've been illuminated. What are you going back there for? And look what he says in verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Oh, Habakkuk is speaking again. Yes, he is. Because the word that God gave to Habakkuk is the same word he gave to Paul in Romans. The same word he gave to the apostle to speak to the Galatians to bring them out of their confusion. Do you realize that Paul said to the Galatians, the person who is speaking this to you is giving you another gospel? It's not the gospel of truth and light and of free grace. It's a gospel of works. And he said, such a person is to be accursed of God. Such a preacher is to be damned in hell for their message of confusion and of error. These are forceful words, my dear friends. But they are forceful words because the truth is so important. It's the difference between heaven and hell. It's the difference between light and darkness. It's the difference between knowing if you are truly saved or if you're lost. Now we come to Hebrews 10:38, where we have the third appearance of this in the New Testament, this verse from Habakkuk. And the Holy Spirit includes this here as evidence that a true believer has always and will always live before God by faith. And so it is the saving faith of our soul that we are talking about here. And Paul said, and I'm so happy because I am not writing unto you because you are children of perdition, children of damnation. I'm writing to you because you are children of light and of faith and of belief. And he says that to them with all openness and joy. And he then breaks into chapter 11 to underline to them again the victory that there is in such a walk of faith. We've been taking a lot of time tonight looking at the first point, the evidence of true conversion. And my dear friend, tonight I say to you again, be sure that the root of this gospel matter is in your heart. Because the second point will be the evidence of Christ-likeness in our lives. Yes, it will be a life lived and walked in faith. So walking in faith means that we are not walking by our human sight. We thought a bit about this morning as well, and from Romans 1 verse 20, we're told, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Wait a minute. Invisible things? Clearly seen? How are they clearly seen? They're clearly seen by the child of faith. That's why. Because God, who is the great creator of all things, in nature has revealed Himself. But the natural man cannot see that. We, in our unsaved state, we cannot know who God is from just nature. But because the Lord has revealed Himself through His Word, the written revelation, and the Spirit has made that known to us by faith in our hearts, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The unbelievers are without excuse because they know there is a God of some dimension out there. But into our hearts by faith, the Lord has made known to us. And that means that we love Him and we want to obey Him and follow Him. That means we would say, as David did, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Because walking by faith means we will resist temptation. Yes, it means that we will resist gossip, resist maligning, resist smearing someone else's character. See, all of these things in the heart of a Christian develop into Christ's likeness. Because in all of these areas, you know that Jesus was not guilty of any of them. But in our human state, we are prone to these things that, well, at one time we walked in them quite freely, quite openly. Sins of the flesh, sins of the mind, sins of the tongue, things that we just did. But you see, when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. And we have a new spirit. We're under new ownership. And therefore, we are to walk in newness of life. And that newness of life is the life of Christ that is coursing through us, the Spirit of God that now takes up His abode within our spirit, our body. And we are His temple. That's why the argument is given, as it was to the Corinthians. Now, wait a minute, people, Paul said, if you call yourself Christians, but you're in the world, you're mingling with prostitutes, how could that be? You're bringing God into your sin. No, that cannot be. Repent of your sin and flee from those things that we might have by our testimony Christ's likeness. And we will also see it in our witnessing. This should be for the Christian the most natural thing that we do, to speak openly of Jesus. But it's not the case always, is it? Sometimes we fear the face of man. And if you find yourself in that situation, which I have myself many times, should have witnessed, didn't witness, we need to ask the Lord to make us fearless in our personal outreach. Fearless. Not to be rude, but to be fearless. There's a big difference. Not to be arrogant, but to be bold for Jesus. Praying that we'll have His Spirit to direct us in the right way. Because you see, these things, they speak of following the Lord. They speak of Christ-likeness. And we are also to be those who know how to wrestle in prayer. Because Jesus wrestled in prayer. He spent nights. He spent mornings. And we, as following the saints of the Old Testament, even as Jacob wrestled with God. And so, friends, we need to understand and learn that following our Savior and to walk by faith is that we will indeed wrestle with the Lord in prayer. And then when we think about warfare and our spiritual warfare, to war by faith, because you see, sometimes we can think to ourselves, we're going to do the Lord's work, but it's in the power of the flesh. And we then begin to fight in the flesh, and that's no good. We can't take confidence in the flesh. We cannot go forward in the arm of the flesh. We must have the arm and the power of God with us. And so, friends, finally tonight, I leave with you the third point, the evidence of perseverance in faith. This is all coming back, you know, to where we stand and understand that the just will live by faith. It will be an evidence that we are truly converted. It will be an evidence that we are following the Lord Jesus in Christ's likeness. But it will also show the evidence that we will persevere to the end. He that endureth to the end, Jesus said, shall be saved. People often mistake that verse and they think that, well, I got to knuckle down and I'm just going to have to keep with sheer grunt power, just persevere to the end, and then finally I hope I'm going to get saved at the end. No, not at all. Because our walk is always by faith. We're saved by faith. We're going to live by faith. We will have the Lord's image stamped upon us, and we will receive His direction and His will in our life by faith. And we will keep going with no surrender and no capitulation. And the Lord is telling us that the outcome, the evidence of this perseverance will be seen, because those who do persevere to the end, they indeed are going to come into the full understanding, the full grasping, the full reception of all that salvation is and means to us. Ultimately, it will be our entrance into glory. And so, friend, tonight, this is not of our power. It's not of our strength. But we are called to walk in the Spirit, and we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And walking in the Spirit is walking in faith. For the justified person is the one who is truly in Christ, truly bears a Christ-like spirit, and we will serve the Lord to the end and be victorious to the end, as Jesus Himself was, as He rose from the dead and lives today in the power of an endless life. So, we are in Him, and we will rejoice for all eternity in our Lord. We'll bow, please, in prayer. Father, tonight we have so much to feast on from the Scripture, and this portion from Hebrews is one of the mountain peaks, Lord. Help us to climb well. Help us to breathe in the air of heaven. Strengthen us with might in the inner man. Let us not give over our members to the old ways of the flesh. But I pray, Lord, that we will be strengthened with all that we need by the Spirit's power. Father, save precious souls tonight. Work deeply in their hearts. And Father, if any might be backslidden, cold in heart, restore, I pray. Restore every soul that has wandered off, and help us all to journey on our pilgrim way in victory and joy and peace. So Lord, part us now in Thy fear and with Thy rich blessing. Go with us every moment of the night, of the day. Help us to walk in the joy and peace of the Savior. And make use of us, Lord, we pray. Make use of us every day that we have life to live. Hear us now, in Jesus' name we ask. Amen.